blessing to be here and worship with the group of saints here. It's my first time here at the church here. I've been by here and seen it from the outside, but that's about it so far, so it's interesting to see inside. And a number of you do recognize a number of faces here. It's a few that I didn't see in a very long time, but bring greetings from the little church of Hidden River. It's if you ever come to Lebanon or Lancaster County, it's just over the mountain ridge from there. So we welcome you to all to join us there. We have started about going about 2 years now. And it's about with everyone attending, it's about 60 people, so just a little bit smaller than this, but welcome you all there. If it works out in your plans, join us. The message I'm going to be sharing on here tonight was a message that came out of a discussion. I think it was probably something we talked about in a group of us at work one day. And it's something that I realize that maybe I have to work on. It's sort of like the devotions. I appreciated your devotions there of turning that around and asking, am I? We need to look inwardly and say, where do we actually stand at? What is driving us? You know, we came out here. I don't have my wife along here. My wife stayed home with two of my younger boys just because of plans and everything, other responsibilities. She decided to stay home. And be nice to have her here, but with us, but not everything always work out. But as we were planning to come out here, there was a certain element of excitement for my boys. We flew out here, and this was only the second time they flew. They were looking forward to this, kind of a weekend out with Dad, and a certain amount of excitement and talking about places we were going to go look at and different things like that, what we're all going to do. And I just want to talk a little bit about excitement here tonight. Excitement is a feeling of a great enthusiasm, eagerness. I'm sure you all have felt excitement for something from time to time. When there is something that you really want and you focus on it, you get excited for the day that you can finally get it. Just thinking of some practical things here that you might be excited about. You know, for the men, it might be that you're getting a new truck or something. Maybe it is that you have not been able to afford a new truck and finally are able to go and order it just the way you want it. And as you wait till it comes in, you're dreaming on how nice it will be to get rid of the old piece that you have. And as you wait till it comes, you're dreaming how nice it'll be, and in your excitement, you start to talk about it with your friends and your family. You're sharing about your excitement of how this will be. And you ladies, I'm not sure what it all is that you get excited about doing. Maybe it's your sister's coming from out of state that's going to come and spend some time with you. And you share about it. You tell your church friends, you know what? We're getting company this weekend and you're excited about it. And whether planning on places we want to go or things we want to do, more things we want to buy, if we're not excited about it, most likely it will not happen, or we won't put the energy in it, and we let it go. You know, there's a number of us that, some of us like talking about things too much and can't keep secrets. There's some that keep secrets better than others. But as a whole, when someone is really passionate and excited about something, you end up telling others about your excitement. I like to keep you all engaged here, so I'm going to ask you a couple questions tonight. And no one's going to judge you for how you answer. I would love to see a raise of hands on who is excited about something you're looking forward to either doing or buying in the near future. Is anyone excited? Okay, that's a few of you. Thanks for being honest. So with that, who has shared your excitement with someone else over the past week or two? Have you shared some of the excitement? There's a few that don't keep secrets, like me, probably. And that is good. Just hold those questions in your mind. We're going to turn to Revelations and look at a few verses here. We're going to turn to Revelations 21. In these passages here, there's a lot of things that we can get excited about. And I'm going to take the time to read 21 and a few of 22 here. Verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. And he shall be my son. But the fear and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, and the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in their names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed, and measured the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. And the length of it and breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, and 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of the man that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall in the city were garnished with all manner of precious stone. And I'm not even going to, I struggle with these names, so I'm not going to read all of them, but there's jaspers and sapphires, emeralds, and there's all kinds of beautiful stones that it's all garnished with. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, and the Lord God Almighty, and the Lamb of the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither moon to shine in it. And the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut all day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination and maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river, the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which beareth 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God of them giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We see in these verses here, there's so much that is going on in these verses. It's something that we can't necessarily even comprehend. But we see there's it says it has no more sea. And just said, I think that's a great example that the sea, or you could say the ocean, it's a dangerous place. It's a place that can be calm 1 minute and raging the next as winds kick up, and has claimed countless lives. There's no more tears, no more sorrow. There's no more tears from an overwhelming day. No tears from choices of loved ones. There's no death. Think of no diseases. Just imagine a life with no illness. There's no colds, no cancer, no flu bugs. No more pain. We see it, no more night. There's no, as night is a time of fear and things that could be lurking in the darkness, there's no more. It is be forever light. says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and they shall reign forever and ever." This here, there's a lot of things that I cannot explain as we read here. But that this here is not just, would you say, an attraction that you go. Sometimes we go on vacation and we go see some beautiful gardens or whatever. This is not just an attraction that you go just for a day. It's no place that you can come and go from. But it's a place that is offered to all, but few will make it. It's a place of utmost comfort. It says you'll inherit all things. It's all for you to partake of if you choose. The sheer beauty is imaginable. You know, it has all those different, it talks about things that we can't even comprehend, things that we can't even afford. But once you have made it there, you will never have to leave. It is final. And if you just think of that, as we in this life, you struggle to keep to do what's right, and it seems like our humanness keeps coming out, and you have to keep working through our struggles. But when you're there, you can never mess up. In this life, it seems that we have to keep asking God for forgiveness. But heaven is not that way. There is no thing as temptation or failure, but he seals you in a complete righteousness state forever. All you'll ever be able to do is good. And you only ever desire to do what's good once you're there. And you think of that in our minds, we can't even really comprehend that. But won't that just be amazing? So I raise a couple more questions. Who here is excited about heaven? All right, there's more hands. I think we all are very excited as we read this. I would say it's probably one of the most exciting things when we read the scriptures that we could ever imagine to do in our life. It's something that we spend a whole lifetime in trying to get there. And I ask the last question here. And this is not to single anyone out, but just to drive a point on something. So who here has shared your excitement about heaven to someone in the last week or two? Thank you. There is a few people, I want to just compliment you on that. This is something that I, in having this discussion with someone else, I challenged myself on, that I do sometimes very poorly at sharing my excitement for eternal things. The title of the sermon tonight is Setting Your Sights on Eternity. Setting your sights on eternity. You know, I'll be the first to admit that heaven is a place that I definitely want to go to. It's a place I want to go. It's a place that I don't want to miss. But it becomes this distant dream that seems far off into the distance. It's a dream that you tuck away in your mind and here, and the here and now of the today, to the the things of today, the pressing things of the day, fill in your mind, in your heart, and it takes away your focus of things to come. To set your sights on something means to put your focus on, to turn your direction towards. One could ask, with all the pressing things in the here and now, how does one turn his focus on things to come? In order not to let us, we must first recognize that this is not our home. To not get tied up in the here and now, we have to realize this is only temporary. In order to recognize this is not our home, we must believe that there is an actual heaven and an actual hell, and that it's an actual place that we will be going to. And we must believe that that we will go based on our choices of today. There's the belief of heaven and hell. You know, from little on up, a lot of us have believed that heaven and hell and that it's an actual physical place, but it's incredible how the enemy is working, would you say, overtime in our society today. It's under attack. There is a belief that's creeping in the churches close to us that hell isn't for eternity. It's a church just close to us back home. It'd be a somewhat conservative church, but the liberal beliefs are creeping in and have recently voted that it is not a place that you go for eternity. And it kind of shocked me because we have friends there that go there. We know people that go there. And you know, if we believe that hell is not it for eternity, what is really the worst thing that could happen if it's only a place that you go serve a sentence as you go to a jail for a sentence? If that is how you believe, then really, what is the fuss? Because we can live our life, and all we'll do is serve some time, would you say? But we read in the Bible that it is not so. Matthew 25:46, it says, These shall all pass away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It's everlasting. It's forever. It's not just for a few years. 2 Peter 3:11 says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, that manner of persons ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." In order to set our focus on things to come, we must recognize that there will be tough times getting there. It's not easy to run the race. Just meeting with a number of yous here in the last 2 days of being out here, or whatever it was, there was different conversations of yous have recently started the outreach up at Jefferson City. And I was just thinking over that, we also have went through a very similar startup. But there was something that yous decided to do. Some of you stayed, some of you went, but it involved all of yous. It took a pulling together. You knew that it would require work, even if you weren't one that went. It meant that you had more responsibilities here. You knew there would be a lot of work. But because you knew it was not going to be easy, you didn't give up halfway there. If you're going on a trip and you hit a pothole and blow a tire, you don't just call it quits. But you stop, you pull on the road, you pull out the spare tire, you put it on, and you keep on going. In life, we need to expect hard things to come. God never promised it to be easy. You think of heaven and all the beauty, and you think of something beautiful here. Maybe it's, you could liken to anything, but maybe it's a beautiful gardens or resorts or something that is just, if you could go on a vacation, that is even the fraction of the beauty that heaven will be, the cost would be outrageous. But we as humans, we expect an easy path to heaven. If we set our hearts to expect a rocky path and it turns out to be smoother than expected, is better than expecting a smooth path and it becomes rocky. If we expect a smooth path and we get into hard times, the chances that we will lose out is way too high. Third point in keeping our focus on things eternal, we need to share our excitement about heaven to others. This is a point that I must work on myself. In life, it's easy to get excited about and talk about things that I'm excited about. Things I'm excited to do. But just for an example, at our church, just a little experience we're having at our church, we're currently working at buying a building to hold church services in. And you know, as we're there as a group, and we're looking in the future of owning our own building, and we can make it our own. We can put heaters in there to actually keep the building warm. And there's all kinds of things. It's fun to talk about it as a group. And it's fun to talk about it because we're excited about it. And it's fun to talk about it because we see a path forward there at Hidden River. And we see the doors that God has opened up. And it's just amazing what God has all done. But as we're there talking about it, we are all sharing our excitement to each other. And the excitement feeds off of each other. and the excitement keeps growing. The vision within the group only grows when you are all putting together, pulling together, and excited about it. The same goes with our hope for heaven. If we are more excited about things on earth than heaven, then earth is where our hearts will be. If we don't keep our enthusiasm alive, it will only die. And I ask this question to myself. Why do I talk so little about something that's so glamorous and something that we can live forever and ever, and we think of all the sickness that is infiltrating into our lives? So why do I share so little about something that is so huge in our life? You know, I looked at different things, and the only things I could come up with is carnal reasons. There's an aspect I for myself, and it might be different for you, and maybe I'm the only one here, but I have to admit that I am not up on the whole prophecy. So there's an aspect of it that, because of heaven, this prophecy overshadows it. And because we as humans don't want to go, and I'm going to just say, look dumb to the people that you're talking to, we almost shy away from certain conversations. And maybe I'm the only one that does that. We shy away from things that we don't maybe totally understand. But the reality is that if we would share together as much about the future as we do the here and now, we would have more understanding than we do. And that would build up a confidence to tell others that we meet up with every day. We need to focus on our reward to come. We have a chance of a lifetime, would you say, to be part of a future, to live on forever and ever. And our minds are very small, and we will probably never understand the whole dimensions of things to come till we're there. When I think of heaven, I have this picture in my mind that is filled with experiences that we have here on earth. But I have to admit that when I think about the whole aspect of eternity and living for eternity in my mind, my mind just goes blank. We cannot comprehend what that would be like. And out of that fear can almost develop because of all the unknowns. Do you find yourself not focusing on eternity because of fear? It may be just the fear that comes from the brain not able to process the sheer awesomeness of God. But on the other hand, it could be a fear that is coming from knowing that you may not be ready to meet your Maker. And if it is the latter, I would challenge you not to wait. Life is short, and while an eternity, while I can't explain how long it is, it's not worth waiting till it's too late. Your life is like a trip. And when you're on a trip, you have goals of going to see different things. You may have a list of places. And with that list of places, maybe you're going on a long trip for a couple weeks. And you list those places, whether it's actually on an actual list or in your mind, you typically place those things that you want to go see in order of importance. There may be some that are high on your list, that may be on the sole reason of going where you're going. Maybe it's a wedding you're going to attend, and you'll do everything you can to not miss that wedding. But the little museums or the little restaurants on your way, you know, if we get there, it's no big deal. There may be some of the places that really won't disappoint you if you don't get there. Where is heaven on your list? Is it just on your wish list? Is it a place that you just hope that you will make it? Is it just a dream? Maybe it looks big and fearful because of the unknowns. Or maybe it's your sole agenda for your life. If you're going to make it, you need to make it your mission and your focus. If you're going to make it, it's got to be more than just a wish list of something you hope for and tuck it in the back of your mind. You need to share it with others to keep your own dreams alive. Because if it takes work to get there, the road is not easy. You don't get to heaven by just sitting back and watching the world go by. It takes a plan and following of that plan to make it. Revelations 22:20. He which testifies these things, saying, "Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." I trust that is your testimony tonight. Let's kneel for prayer.